There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Hi, I'm Bowen from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Matt from Las Culturistas. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship?
Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business.
You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Oh, and look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
And fuck. Can I say, it is so, the first word is fuck.
The first word is fuck.
It's the front runner for title of ep already. I mean, the first word is fuck.
That applies to a lot of stuff that's going on right now, I would say.
Top of mind, can I say first thing?
What are you going to say?
J.K. Rowling, it's stunning. It is shocking.
Let's just start this off by saying... There's a lot of peripheral culture that we have yet to address that I think is...
Things happening in the background that are huge.
That demand our point of view. I mean, nothing demands our point of view, really, but like...
Some of these things demand our point of view so we can move on. We have to confront these things head on so that they can be addressed and move on. For example, I mean... The Leah Michelle of it all.
The Leah Michelle of it all, the Lindsey Graham of it all, the J.K. Rowling of it all. I mean, there's a lot to go through.
Oh, you mentioned Lady G. I haven't even thought about her.
I've thought about Lady G a lot recently.
I've thought about Lady G a lot in the grand scheme. I'm saying in the first minutes of our conversation, haven't even considered Lady G, and yet Lady G is waiting in the wings.
Yes,
I want to address something straight away.
Okay.
You see these bandages all over my arm?
Yeah, what happened?
I tried to ride a bike to like sort of like kind of free myself.
Mm-hmm.
I went over the handlebars of my bike.
No,
you have to understand. And our guest has said no.
No.
And I agree. She's sick. We have to bring her in. Let's just bring her in now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. Paula Cole. Call me Paula Cole.
Yeah, call Matt Paula Cole for our lives to be over. Our guest is actually a huge cyclist. She loves a bicycle.
Oh my God. Oh my
God.
Not only
cycling fan, but also we've not even realized this, but we've had Michelle on the schedule, and yet we've done our whole Survivor dance, and we haven't even spoken to Ms. Collins. So now here we go. She's going to come in and she's going to tell us her thoughts because there is much to discuss.
Okay, so let's just go through the credits really quickly.
Go through them because why the fuck not?
Why the fuck not? She's the host of the Michelle Collins Show on Sirius XM 109. Check her out, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. She hosts, From the Neck Up?
Wow, yeah, I do host that.
From the Neck Up with Adam Rippon on IG Live.
Yes, we got on a major network, IG Live. Tough. tough to get a show there these days. They greenlit it.
That's huge. Congrats.
I saw
huge,
the deadline.
Huge viewing audience on IG Live.
That's so cool.
Listen, those 400 people that watch are some of my favorite people.
400's not a bad number. 400's not a bad number on IG Live at all. That's really good.
Honestly, I'll tune into my IG Live and think it's a moment and like wait and be like, hey guys, I'm waiting for you guys to come out. And it's like 60 people.
60 people. The numbers are.
I'll wait for you guys to kind of like formulate. I'll wait for you guys to get here and. Oh, wait.
Not all of us can be AOC and that we're like spend the first 30 seconds being like, hey guys.
It's actually Hi. A real culture. How it's a real you? Culture number 71. Not all of us can be AOC.
Let's say it together.
I'm on next week's.
Not all of us can be AOC. Wait, what? Yeah. You're on next week's what?
I'm on next week's Versus. It's me versus Questlove. And I hope people watch. No, you know how they do that once a week? There's like this Versus with like a Z and it's like two musicians like Babyface versus someone. You don't know about
that? You're going up against Questlove?
No, I'm kidding. come on. No, but
I don't know what's real.
Oh my God.
My favorite part of IG Live is the first 5 seconds when you have like 2,000 viewers and I'm like, oh my God. And then everyone's like, fuck.
Yeah. What am I doing here?
Bye.
No, because honestly, whenever you log on to IG, how often is it that you accidentally go on someone's live? All the time.
Well, it's sad because it shows you how fucking often I'm on it. Like, I'm always clicking and tapping and looking and DMing, and it's like, it's sad because it really shows you. I should also add, before we continue, that I also, in a couple weeks, have a podcast coming out. That's a breaking news.
What's it called?
Tell us all about it.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name, but I will. It's called, when is this coming out? This week.
Wednesday. This week. This
Wednesday. This is called, it's, tell me if you like the name.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Midnight Snack with Michelle Collins.
I love it.
I don't think you'll ever beat the name of a podcast that you used to host that was formerly called Fresh Batch, but then it changed to Edit That Out.
Yeah, Edit That Out.
You would say that all the time. Edit That Out.
Edit that. Well, everything I say, I'm like, please just cut that. I don't want anyone hearing that.
I love Midnight Snack. It's evocative.
It's just like it relates to food. It relates to like being so sexy, which you know I am. Never sexier than in quarantine, boys.
Yes,
never.
I look like I'm like the third, like in the White Chicks too. Like I'm the new third one. Like something happened.
Oh my God.
I have latex face now. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk.
White Chicks.
White Chicks 2. Well, the star of White Chicks 2. Everyone, please welcome into your ears, Michelle Collins.
Of a sudden, like, I'm lit up because I need to talk to you about so many things. Like, Bowen, you mentioned Lea Michele. Michele, what is your take on Lea Michele and all these
news? Okay.
So I've had one interaction with Lea Michele. I did.
I knew
about
you
this.
Would have had at least at one interaction with her.
They pitched her to come on my show like a few weeks, maybe 3 months ago, right before quarantine, and I was like, absolutely, like yes, I want her to come on the show so that I could. And I never do that. I never talk shit about any of my guests, but I was just like, yes, like bring her on so I can see it IRL. Because I've had some guests come on who have been very nasty. I'm sure you guys have too. But I was waiting at the WeHo parking garage. Matt, do you know where the Celebrity Target is?
The Celebrity Target is that? Say where it is.
La Brea and Santa Monica, where Crazy Rock and Sushi is. I'll make this quick.
I know the one.
I got like $900
Don't
for
make
the
it
sushi.
Quick.
You know,
don't
I
make it
be.
Quick.
Except for my IG live show. What?
I want the details of Lea Michele.
Please be as detailed as possible.
So basically, I had ordered all the sushi because I am a pig person, and they gave me I like to get their house sauce, which is basically sesame oil with like a little ponzu stirred in for laughs. And so they gave me a tiny. They gave me a teensy, like a tiny little cup of it, which they knotted the bag at the top. Like the bag was full of styrofoam. They put this little oil cup in the middle, and then they did like a balloon knot with the bag handles at the top. Like there was like nothing left. So I'm holding this like 48 pound bag of sushi, and I'm waiting by the elevator between the BevMo and the Jersey Mike's. If you know LA, you know where I'm talking about. Yeah. Which, by the way, that elevator is like has summoned demons before, because one time I got in it and a man with blue whiteout contact lenses came on and I was like one flip flop on and I was freaked and he went, oh, are you gonna cry?
I'm crying in the elevator. No, he's gotta go.
I'm also just bracing myself for how Lea Michele. is involved in this sushi conquest.
I'm literally already weeping.
I'm crying.
So listen, No, don't cry. Are you going to cry?
Are you going to cry?
So, anyway, so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, this fucking oil cup falls out of the bag, breaks open, spills all in front of the elevator. No. It's
Ponzu
like
and sesame oil. Sorry. I keep interrupting you.
The door opens. No, interrupt. The door opens. No. And who steps out but Lea Michele and her boyfriend?
No.
And I didn't even see that it was her. He came. He walked out first, and then it was her going to BevMo, by the way. And I said, hey, guys, watch out. Someone spilled sauce.
Michele. Oh, my God.
I went, hey, I'm holding a bag of sushi.
Wait, was this after she had been pitched as a guest on your show?
No, this was like 5-6 years ago. This is a while ago.
Okay.
Oh, no, this was she wasn't with her husband, Lanny Reich, or whatever his name is. So
what was her reaction to the situation?
Hey guys, and meanwhile, she didn't know that I spilled it. So I was actually being nice. I went, hey guys, like watch out, somebody spilled sauce.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like everywhere. Like, why would I know it's sauce? I guess I gave myself away.
So what did she do?
Someone spilled sauce is what the podcast should be called.
Someone spilled sauce.
It's so much funnier.
Someone spilled sauce. Oh my God.
Ponzu and sesame oil from Crazy Rock and Sushi.
I'm like crying now. Anyway, so I said it and she went, ugh, like to me, like really rolled her eyes. I was in the 1 second interaction I had, instead of going, oh, thanks, or ew, or whatever, like a normal sauce reaction, she was like, ugh, like as though I even like attempted to talk to her. I didn't even know it was her other than her mug, which is like Michael's Halloween display, you know. And she came up, and then boyfriend,
God, the
who
worst.
Was cute, was nice and smiled and went, oh, thanks. And I was like,
is she still with him?
No, she got rid of him. And then actually, I have another friend who DM'd me that was like, oh, is this the guy? And I can pull up who it was. They've broken up, and I bet he has some good stories. You should have him on the show. Let me pull up.
Oh, my God. We should have him on the show just for Lea Michele T.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We should tell
everyone
that
spilled sauce.
Yeah, someone spilled sauce. We should tell everyone that doesn't know, Lea Michele has been called out by dozens of cast members of Glee for her sort of like very rude, dismissive, nearly abusive behavior of the
I'd say
like
it's
background actors. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
Creating a toxic atmosphere.
But specifically racist. I mean, the whole shit in her wigs thing is like a full on, like, yeah, that's like specific to a black woman.
There are a lot of people who have been saying like, no, she's not racist. She was horrible. Like her Heather Morris wrote on Twitter,
Instagram. Right.
Like she's rancid to everyone. Like it's almost like she's colorblind because she's just nasty to everyone.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're absolutely right. Like if you say something like shit in your wig, that right there, you can be rancid plus racist.
Yeah, it can
be both. You know,
yes,
so
absolutely.
Does not preclude you from being racist, but
exactly.
Being rancid does not mean you can't be racist. Actually, real culture number 50.
Being rancid
does not mean you can't be racist.
So what's your take on this whole thing, Michele? We want to know.
Me?
Yeah.
Here's my take. I think that it has been the who me?
Me?
It has been a known thing that she is rotten, like a rotted soul.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I am actually shocked that it's taken so long for people to even kind of like out her for it because she's so horrible. I got texts from people I haven't talked to in ages who like famous people who I don't know well, who I love. I've changed. Well, I have changed.
Famous people who I don't know, who I love.
Michele, maybe because I haven't laughed in so long, I feel like I'm like on something extra.
This is the first time I'm laughing genuinely in like 2 weeks.
Wait,
truly.
So people have reached out to you and been like, oh my God, thank God things about her have come out because I can't believe the things that happened to me with her.
Like legit, without naming this person, someone said, one day we're going to have a fireside chat and I'm going to tell you my stories and you're going to shit. And
wow.
I was like, and he lives in LA. And I was like, I will literally fly to Los Angeles for that alone. Like that to me is so exciting. I'm sure she's, what do you classify that as? Just being like a fucking, like, how does someone become that mean?
I think that she is just like one of those. Well, I was watching her Insta Live with Amber Riley, and she was saying to someone, she was like, I'm not going to sit here and say that Lea Michele is racist. I'm not going to say that because I have my experience with her, whatever, but I can't say that flat out here in the Insta Live. What I can say is that as a result of this conversation, a lot of people have been DMing me saying that they have felt abuse by the hands of the white girl stars of whatever show they were working background on, which is obviously not surprising. Like, these girls, like, and these people who star in shows, they really think that everyone works for them, which is honestly, if anything else, it's a good reminder that that is an insane thing to think. You happen to be lucky to be the person that is the star of that show. It does not mean you are talented, period. It also does not mean that you are talented with more talented than everyone else that's working there.
But you want to know what's so that the fun little whipsaw to all this is that I remember distinctly when Glee first came out, Lea Michele was doing all this press and doing all these interviews where she, the sort of repeated line was that, like, she was like, yeah, I was struggling a lot when I first came out to Hollywood. Everyone said I was too ethnic. Isn't that so funny that she was like building up this oppression narrative that she was like, yeah, you know, I'm Jewish and I'm too ethnic for Hollywood. It's like, whoa. And
it's
now,
every Harvard application essay.
Yeah.
Back when I marched for the living, and by the way, I'm Jewish, so I can make that joke. When I marched for the living and I thought of all of those who had died, I knew that I was taking this, you know, that shit.
Yes, it's that.
She is, I wouldn't say she's, I feel bad now that I called her a Halloween display. Leia, she's talented.
She's really talented.
Very talented.
Wait, by the way, the name of the guy she was with, Matt Petz, that was the name of the guy at the Spilled Sauce.
That's a disgusting name. First Terrible of all, we name. Have to say it right away. Matt Petz? No.
Disgusting.
You fled a misfire right there. What are you going to be, Lea Petz? Lea Petz. What?
It might be Pates. It's P-A-E-T-Z.
Girl, for
no,
me,
it's
Pets. Lea Petz.
We're saying it's Petz. It's Lea Petz.
It's Petz for us.
Did you see the Petz R Us? Did you see the Daily Mail headline today, though? Which I found very interesting.
Love those messy whores that the Daily Mail. Though,
they are
gotta.
So fucking messy, and I truly, and they have fucked me over in my time, and I still click every day.
Just awful.
But they said, listen. They said Lea Michele has allegedly had a real wake-up call and wants to handle things responsibly amid backlash over her past onset behavior. Thoughts?
Honestly, what can she do at this point? What she should do is she should just relax, have her baby, and like then focus on things she can do after the fact. But right now she's 6 months pregnant, and I the only thing that makes me worried about the whole situation is like, oh, there's like a child that's gonna like have to deal with all the stress that she's experiencing right now.
Yeah, but she's wealthy. It's fine. It's truly fine.
That is, and I'm saying she should have the baby handed off to whatever care she can pay for and then
exactly.
work on herself.
I feel like I can only map this onto like Katherine Heigl's career, maybe just having like such a flashpoint of like someone being like someone reputably being a bad person or whatever, or unprofessional or whatever it is.
Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway
has not been canceled. Because she's old. I think we make excuses.
I think so.
You,
I think
honestly,
in context, it makes sense.
Yeah, and she was fully raging in her own time. But here's the thing is, it's like, imagine being known as a nightmare in that time. Like, what you would have been like now.
Yeah.
I do love me some Faye Dunaway, but I know that she definitely has ruined lives. And listen, what else has Lea Michele done after Glee? No one wanted to.
Well, there was that one show, The Mayor.
What?
Oh, remember right.
that? It was like like an ABC show where it was like about this. I think I'm gonna mess up the premise.
This
of the
guy
show,
who
but
runs for mayor or something.
It was a young black guy who like ran for mayor and gets elected. And I think he wasn't taking it seriously. It was just like a whatever, like a stunt. And he gets elected mayor, and she becomes like his chief of staff.
Yes, I remember these billboards. I did not watch
the program. All the billboards were like the guy who becomes the mayor front, and then Lea Michele in the back, like, it's so
arms
funny
crossed.
Whenever arms crossed, like, I'm gonna be the serious one. Like, it's so funny, the sitcom thing of like the billboard and the side characters in the back. Like, imagine being
language.
Like the fourth person in the billboard, like standing back, like, and you know I serve a purpose in the show.
That's who mm-hmm. I auditioned for, and I have never gotten cast in my life to be the fourth person ever. Do you think
I can
any
say
of
I've
the...
also never been cast? Yes,
that's so sad. But we're talented and we're attractive. Can you can you imagine how much sauce the background actors on the mayor have to spill?
Oh, we need them all on. Honestly, we're coming up on our 200th episode. Episodes 200 through 300 need to be all mayor background actors.
Yes, yes.
Yes. We just need to find out what happened on the mayor.
Can you just never not be the dumbest? I love you so much. I truly, you're the only two that make me laugh, and that's our show.
That's a
lot. I had a great time. Thank you for having me. Oh, just
you know what I? You know what I genuinely love though? I love hearing tea about like old sitcoms. Like, I have a friend that was a writer on Desperate Housewives, and he'll tell me about like ways that Felicity Huffman acted, ways that so and so acted, and it's just so funny to hear that it was not at all what we thought. Like, Terry Hatcher was not necessarily the nightmare on that
right.
show. Like, in hidden
oh, really?
Ways,
I believe it.
Felicity was the nightmare on that show because she was like rude to the writers, or like, you know, Nicholas Sheridan was like actually a full monster. But that doesn't mean that Mark
should have slapped
her across the face, because he did. Like,
did he?
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh, imagine
he slapped
Ryan
her
Murphy
across her face.
Leah. Wow.
Imagine that.
Imagine.
Honestly, though, the whole Glee thing, one of the darkest
it's
casts
so
we've ever
there's
heard
so,
about.
So many tragedies all intersecting on one damn
pedophiles,
show.
Pedophiles, overdoses. If I was on that show, I would be quaking right now. Amber has a good career. Little sweet Chris Colfer, who we love so much. They must have, someone should write a Glee book. That book would be purchased.
What we need is for Chris Colfer to write a tell-all about the book, because I say this with love, not doing too much else. And I think wants like a
baby Chris. He's so sweet.
But I mean, a sweetheart, but like wants to write. And I think he came up with that. He wrote that film, Struck by Lightning. And so if he wants to write, what I want to hear is the tell-all of what happened on the Glee set.
Did you just make that name up?
What happened on the Glee set?
He wrote that film. Watch out for cars coming. Watch out for that car. He wrote that fame film.
He literally wrote a movie.
That fame film. Your order will be ready in a second, sir. Have you heard that? Have you seen that?
Wait, I'm literally typing into Google Chris Colfer.
Chris Colfer,
film.
Yeah, Struck by Lightning.
I've
Chris
never
Colfer
heard of
film.
That.
Struck by Lightning. Here it is, 2012. It came out. Oh, I'm gonna read about it to you. It was it's an American coming of age comedy drama film directed by Brian Donnelly, the famous director, and written by and starring Chris Colfer.
Wow.
It had its world premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival on April 21st, 2012.
Well, good for him. He's
lovely.
He's such a sweetheart.
So, do you know him? I've never met him.
I do a little bit. He's really, really sweet. Yeah, that's why I'm like, I won't say anything bad about him.
No,
but he should write a book. He should write a book.
But I'm saying as though I want to hear the tea. Because also, I have genuine curiosities about what the situation is between Lea Michele and Jonathan Groff, whether or not they're actually BFF.
Can you even imagine? And he's lovely, Jonathan.
Have you met him before?
We're not friends. Is this my mic? Struck by lightning too. We're not friends, but I've interacted with him, and he's very, very sweet. But you never know. You know, maybe she like got her eagle talons in him
at
and
young
just
age.
Took off at a young age. You know, you just don't know.
You just don't know.
Right. So Leia's a nightmare. Wait, what else?
We were talking about Joanna Kathleen.
Oh,
Kathleen
Rowling.
Michelle has said that she famously she's proudly never read a Harry Potter book.
I saw that tweet that you've probably
We're proud of you.
I tried to read the first one years and years ago. Someone gave me their paperback. I could not crack into that book. I just was like, I don't fucking care about this. And now I win.
And
you know what?
You
do win. I cared so much. Bowen cared so much.
I'm sorry.
Truly, but my theory now is that, and this is even before she fully just was guns blazing as a transphobic, but like the books, if you read them in your adulthood, mm-hmm. you have to read those books within a certain window of your life, of your development mm-hmm. as like an adolescent. Because now if you read them as an adult, like, it loses something. I don't know.
Well, they're not written for us. And so no, exactly. one thing is you'll not just be like as wrapped up in it all. But I mean, the goblins at Gringotts Bank, people say they're anti-Semitic.
Oh,
they
sure,
are
sure,
literally
sure.
Hook-nosed goblins that like are like, they just...
What do they do?
She really goes for it.
They're bankers.
They're bankers, and they're kind of just like,
wow.
If you really want to look into this, they are caricatures of like anti-Semitic Jewish stereotypes.
Hello. First of all, I thought you were joking when you said bankers. I was like, hey guys, that's not funny.
No.
You can't say that.
Hey,
I can't believe that they're literal hook-nosed bankers. That's a Hitler cartoon.
I almost want to show you a picture, but they have the theme park rides in Universal Studios, and if you go...
Wait, do I know, do they, are they, I think I know what they look like. Send me a picture of it. Do you guys know that Roald Dahl is a very famous anti-Semite?
Yes.
And I never knew it until I was in, I love telling the story. I was in Budapest. Again, that's our time. No, I was in Budapest, and there was one English bookstore. I bought the auto booths of Roald Dahl, thinking I'm so fucking smart, whatever. I was 19. I started reading it, and there was this story. You can look it up on Wikipedia, where it's like this couple, this woman has lost a lot of her babies, and she's pregnant again. She goes to the hospital to deliver, and the father is like, push, honey, push. And she's like, oh, I just want to make sure the baby's going to be fine. And it's like stressful. And you're like, oh, have the baby. Like, yay, do it. And the baby is born, and the doctor comes in, and she goes, well, doctor, well, how, she goes, how is he? Is he okay? And the doctor goes, yes, yes, he's going to grow up to be very, very strong and very powerful, Mr. and Mrs. Hitler.
Oh,
no.
Yes. That is a Roald Dahl short story.
That.
And I was like, huh? And then I was like shaking. And then I went and Googled it. And he's an anti-fucking Semite. James and the Giant anti-Semites. Yes.
What do
James
we do?
James and the Giant Jews. What?
What do we do about, like, and also, like, wait, Michelle, what is your know-how about Walt Disney?
Well, why was he? Well, you know what's funny you bring that up, actually, because I was going to almost do my I don't think so, honey, about Disney. That's so funny that you said that.
Okay.
Because, and I'll make it quick because I'm talking a lot.
No, this is all we want.
This is all we want. I'm not
Looney
kidding.
Tunes. You know that if I could kiss all of your little toes individually, I would.
Here's my feet.
Looney Tunes was released. God, you look great. You have nice feet, Maddie.
Babe, thanks. Honestly, they're not nice. I fell over my bike and tore them all up. But anyway, keep going.
Oh, the bike. I want to ask you about that in a second.
We'll talk about the bike next.
I'll make it very quick. I have often said that I was never a Disney person growing up. Mm-hmm. I like would watch here and there, you know, Goofy, because I was Goofy, obviously. But like, I would watch some of that, but I never got into it. And I liken it. I say that Disney is like the alt-right Christian. Like, I don't want to say alt-right, but Disney is like super Christian, super yeah. American, devoid of any humor, and that Looney Tunes is like a Jewish paradise. Like,
yes.
Looney Tunes is so Jewish. And just more, I don't even want to say Jewish, just more like ethnic. Like, Looney Tunes just incorporates like people who have problems. It's like Seinfeld animated, basically,
yes.
for me.
Yep.
And I just wanted to just say that I actually hate Disney. Was Walt Disney an anti-Semite? Would not shock me.
I don't know. Bowen, do you know about this?
I haven't really ever looked into it.
There are rumors that Walt Disney was an anti-Semite. And
the Song of the South
with...
of it all. The Song of the
oh
South
my God.
Of it all is wild.
It's so racist. When you go on Splash Mountain, this was like years ago. I went on Splash Mountain. Well, you know that I went to Disney. Very, very quick story. This is a hilarious story. When I was on The View, LOL.
Oh my God, they sent you?
LOL.
Oh, you guys would do your Orlando, the Orlando
no,
shows there.
I wish. No, I sent me because I knew that I had like 4 days left until like the papers were coming to cancel me. Uh-huh. So I said, I want to get my VIP Disney tickets. And they were like, okay, like begrudgingly. Because so, I knew that I'd be like taken care of. And I emailed every friend in New York. I was like, I will pay for your flight to Orlando. Come meet me at Disney. Literally, nobody wanted to come. My parents ended up going. My parents came. They were like, we hate this. And I had to go to all the rides.
Oh, my God.
Like,
I wish we
guide.
Had known each other. I would have gone with you.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
That would have been so fun.
Oh, my God. Anyways, but Song of the South is the most racist.
Shocking.
Or no, Splash Mountain.
It's,
yeah. They have those bears. that are egregious. Caricatures.
Yep.
It's crazy. I'm like, am I the only, or what about Jungle Cruise with the natives? I'm like, am I fucking crazy?
Recently, I went on Jungle Cruise with a bunch of people. Anna Dresden was there, and we could not believe that it had not been updated. The Jungle Cruise is another level. The natives that come out of the woods that are like trying to kill you, it's really crazy. Okay, so we have a note from our producer here that says, Walt Disney hired a Nazi scientist to be the chief scientific consultant to Walt Disney Productions.
So there you go.
Big shock there. Where my cheese at? Big shock. Disney is, I'm telling you, point to one funny. And by the way, no offense, I know that I'm really, listen, if you like Disney, I'm sorry your childhood had problems. You know, we all have issues.
I'm fully ready to receive this because I am a Disney person.
Are you a major Disney person?
Yes. Oh,
no. Michelle, it's true. It's true. I go.
I'll say that I am too. I'm on the spectrum.
We go to Disney and we want to learn.
Yeah.
Because you want to know what it is? Disney.
Yeah, you went too. So don't be all high and mighty on us because you begged your corporate company for your Plum tickets. You were a participant in Disney. You were.
Listen, because I wanted to be accepted by the Nazi scientists, okay? Look, I fucked up. There's just something about Disney that just never fully, I never felt safe there. Do you know that wait, can I say one other thing? I know what I'm talking about.
Please talk as much as you want.
My best friend in high school, Jessica Weiss, shout out. Love her. She worked at Disney one summer, and I went to visit her, and she took me to the underground. I've been underground at Disney.
So what's, is it gay?
Yeah, well, what was it like?
Is it like Prince
Donald
Eric fucking Aladdin?
Blowing, it's Donald blowing Aladdin. Yeah. It's crazy. It's black lights, like
cum,
lots vinyl cum. That's my new podcast. Black lights, vinyl cum.
Black lights, vinyl cum.
No, it's like literally you. It's horrifying. You see, like Mickey, like holding his head and smoking. It's like in The Simpsons. It just feels off.
It's like literally that. Oh no.
Oh yeah. Anyways, my god.
And there's miles and miles of tunnel of people that are just like making too little money to do what they do.
Everyone is so miserable. But I remember the door that I went into. Nobody stopped me. She was like, "You have to look like you belong, because I could get fired. Because you know they're so anal about."
So what did you smile extra big?
You look like you belong.
I smile so big. Well, I look like Goofy, literally. I think they were just like, oh, Goofy's off the clock. Like, I had overalls on and like a big hat.
Oh, Goofy's off the clock.
There's Goofy. Hey, it's Bowen, and I want to introduce you to the new Cantina Chicken Menu at Taco Bell. Yes, it's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients, great as a lunchtime option. Taste for yourself the slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. With new menu options like Cantina Chicken Tacos, Burritos, and Quesadillas, there's something for everyone. And Taco Bell isn't just for a late night. With this new Cantina Chicken Menu, the possibilities are, well, endless. Try the new Cantina Chicken Menu at Taco Bell now. Now, I said. Hey, Las Culturistas listeners. We're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs Classic Clogs and Sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs clogs and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. I've seen Michelle relatively recently. I saw her in December when you came to SNL, and it was a beautiful moment getting to witness you meeting Sudie Green because you had were both. It was just a. It was a total.
That makes a lot
fest.
Of sense to me.
It was a wonderful moment. She's the best.
It was so fun. That was such a fun night. I met Ariel. It was so nice. Yeah.
You met Ariel. And then you also, okay, so my guests that night were, it was the J-Lo show. I had Oscar and Mo and Adam from Poppy Juice, and they were my guests. And then you sat at our table at the after party and you fully had them in the palm of your hand. It was a beautiful thing to see, like, just like you talking to like these three, like Bushwick Bed-Stuy, like brown nightlife icons, queer nightlife icons, and you like talking their ears off, and they were wrapped and they were obsessed, and it was,
why wouldn't they be?
It was, I mean, but it was just like, oh yeah, this is the effect that Michelle has on people. Like, you,
that's
just
really nice. Thank
it was
you.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful to
that
see.
That makes me feel you know, because I don't live in Bushwick, and I know that if I did, I don't know what I'd be like. But it's
different.
I just love funny people. You know what I mean? They were so funny. They were so sweet.
Oh, they're the best. They're the best.
I want to see them again. Like, I would love. The problem is that I feel now like I'm the Faye Dunaway to their like Christina. You know what I mean? Where they're like babies. You know, and I'm like, oh, I'm not like an old lady. By the way, Daniel Radcliffe, a Jew, wouldn't he be like, hey, JK, the goblins, can we talk about the goblins?
I think that some people from the Harry Potter universe will speak out. Because you can't just let this continue.
Oh, Katie Leung, the actress who played Cho Chang, like, tweeted. I mean, she did one of those, like, fake out tweet threads. Like, do you guys want to know my thoughts about playing Cho Chang? Here goes, thread. And then it's donation links.
Donations.
Which is great. But I feel like there's this, like, subtext to like all the people who like were in the movies or were involved with or have worked with JK in any capacity that are like, I don't know. I don't want to make assumptions about Miss Joanne, but it's just, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. And she should have just stopped touching that franchise after the books and the movies came out and not written these two terrible movies. Fantastic Beasts, let's just say, bad movies.
It's just crazy that like she could have literally, she had two choices. She had one choice, which was speak your mind, which she did. She took that avenue, and she also could have just shut her mouth and remained one of the most beloved authors of all time. Like, the fact that we are in this moment right now, and she said, you know what? I'm actually going to double down on my transphobic beliefs now. Now she's done forever. There's no excuse.
Can I ask an honest question?
Yeah.
Why pick the trans community, which is like...
She's got a fixation
on it. She's obsessed, but it's not just her. Like, you know, Ricky Gervais has come for them. A lot of famous people feel very emboldened to pick on these people who are literally like...
talking about the human food chain and privilege and everything else,
the most disenfranchised.
They're the most disenfranchised people. They're people. They are not coming for your money. They're not coming for your work. They're not bothering you in any way, except for maybe needing, as a celebrity, your help and your empowerment to help them blend in with society as human beings, which is all they're asking for. Yeah. Why would you pick this group to
and
highlight
this
and to come after right now? Yeah. I literally am like, it's crazy.
It's because it's the last vestige of that sort of racist, sexist, homophobic humor. Because I think like that was such a huge part of what comedy was all throughout the 90s and all throughout the like aughts when these people were huge. They did make like inappropriate, quote unquote, comedy out of race, gender, homophobia. That was just the way that they made money. Honestly, it's the way that they built their comedy careers. Yeah. And now that we're saying this is over, because obviously trans people are like the bottom of everyone's list, it has historically been, that we've like reached out to that community, that's the last vestige for these male comedians and these comedians that are kind of old fashioned and came up at that time. These are the last people they can still pick on while people aren't completely outraged about it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
It's easy for them.
Yeah. And for her to have written this series of books that are like completely moralizing and completely,
I mean, I mean,
she's like presenting her set of values, and that's, and people liked it. But she has conferred upon herself this false sense of like, well, I have the right point of view on this, and my opinion is actually the right one.
Yeah.
And this is her. But yeah, this fixation on the trans community is so interesting. Because remember like 2 weeks ago when she tweeted that crazy thing and then it had that addendum that she like accidentally pasted this like,
oh, do you
line.
Know about this, Michelle? It was like she was like, so basically she's been doing this thing on her Twitter where she's written a new book or told a new story called The Ichabog, and it's about a bug, but she didn't physically describe the bug. Instead, she was allowing her young fans to draw pictures of the bug, what they think the Ichabog looks
oh
like,
God.
And send it into her so that she can be like, this Ichabog is amazing. Wonderful job. I love how it looks wise in its face. Like, it's stupid shit, but like, yeah. That's what she's been doing. So in one of the submissions that she received, she literally, Bowen, like, could you find this, because it's yeah. literally insane, but it
I
was
know,
like
it.
It was like, this Ichabog is an amazing creature, and then it was like this copy pasted thing about how trans people aren't like actually people. It was so bizarre. And then she finished the post.
Did
like,
she delete
and
it?
I love that it's got blue feed. Thank you. Like, it was really weird. Bowen, did
she delete it or
this?
No?
I think she has, or she apologized for it.
I think she deleted, but let me, I think I found. So it's a Wikibogue.
You know, she keeps saying these things like, you know, being a woman shaped my life. And I think she is one of those people who believes that people who are born men, who discover they're trans women throughout their lifetime, I think she takes offense to that. I think that she feels attacked that a man can, quote unquote, become a woman or claim womanhood. I think this is something that she is really sensitive to for whatever reason and feels the need to keep speaking about.
It's just like, why does that have any impact
it shouldn't.
On your womanhood? They're separate journeys. Like, I'm a woman. I've been through a lot of shit. It's like, I've never once in my life thought to myself, wow, that trans woman has no idea what I've ever, like, I just don't get that. Okay, let me look.
This is it. I have it. Okay, so it
I'm clicking.
Was
oh God, I'm
a
nervous.
Drawing of the Ichabog that okay. this kid wrote, and she said, I love this truly fabulous Ichabog with its bat ears, mismatched eyes, and terrifying blood-stained teeth. In court, Wolf claimed the Facebook post in which she said she wanted to, quote, fuck up some TERFs was just bravado. So that was the tweet with the picture of an Ichabog.
So she pulled this from some report about this woman, Tara Wolf. I believe a trans woman who wanted to attack, who was charged for assaulting a radical feminist / TERF. I think that's the background on this.
I mean, and then she said, sorry about the random and totally unconnected sentence that made its way in there. I accidentally pasted in part of a very un-Ichabod-ish message I just received. Which is like such a joke. It's like she's talking about the Ichabod at the same time as she clearly had copy-pasted a turf, like, talking point from an article and put it in her damn Ichabod message.
But my theory is that she was probably so used to being so celebrated her entire professional life. And then I think the first time she ever tweeted about trans people a few years ago, people started to come after her and call her a TERF. And she probably felt very, very victimized by that and then has been obsessing over trying to justify her point of view. I think that, I mean, that's my dumb assessment. Anyway.
Well, you know, listen, I haven't watched the movie Small Time Crooks in 8 years. Have you?
Not in the last eight years, but I've watched it.
Oh, no, I've seen it many times. And then until we canceled Woody. And it hurt because it's one of my favorite movies, but I haven't watched it since. And I just feel like, you know what? I'm sorry to the Harry Potter community, but like, eventually you just have to say this. It's not like she's going to be crying. She'll cry into her money mattress. She'll be fine. But it's like, I can't wholeheartedly support someone who I know is a piece of shit like that. I can't.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, I don't even think she is going to be crying because she's truly digging her heels in. And then she said something like, someone called her a TERF. And she said, feminazi, TERF, bitch, witch. It's all the same. The way that they talk down to women. It's like, no, TERF.
Things change, but women hating is eternal or whatever.
Right. She said, this is how they hate women. It's like, she genuinely believes that us calling her a TERF is some, you know, just misogynist term. I genuinely think that she just doesn't understand what it is.
Yeah, but the irony is her being transphobic is its own form of hating women. You know, it's right. Like,
of course. Also, so, I don't like the name TERF. It just sounds kind of dumb. Like when I first heard it, I was like, TERF. I had to Google it. I didn't know what it was.
Uh-huh. Well, it's so close to Smurf.
It's close to Nerf. It's close to all this dumb shit. Yeah. It's AstroTurf is like innocuous nothing. It's like fake grass. I literally did not know what it meant. I was like, dirt.
Well, for people who don't know, who may not know, it is trans exclusionary radical feminist. It's people who believe that they're feminist and supporting women who do not include trans women in that and who are transphobic. That's really what's at the heart of TERF. And I wish we didn't have to say it at all either, because it is ugly.
It's ugly.
You TERF.
I think it's funny.
How dare you, TERF? Get out of here, TERF. I'm putting a sign on my front door that says no TERFs.
No TERFs allowed, baby. That's my podcast. No TERFs allowed, baby. After someone spilled sauce. Someone spilled sauce.
Honestly, I just can't believe that, honestly, after it was you that spilled the sauce, we should say.
Yes, it was me.
That the doors opened to the elevator and it was Lea Michele that walked in, and you, Michelle Collins, had to look up into her face and say, that's Lea Michele.
I had to literally say to her, someone spilled sauce.
And her response was, ugh.
But like a hawking a loogie scoff, ugh. Like, ugh.
She literally was like, do not, like the energy was psycho. And it went so quickly, like the door was open. It's not like I was like staring at her from across a room. Like she literally walked out. She almost has this like armor up probably because she thought she was so famous, you know, that if God forbid anyone spoke to her, like, but this guy was lovely and she found a husband.
Yeah, she certainly did. But remember when she was literally the next big thing? Remember when she sang at the Tony Awards, Don't Rain on My Parade, and the front row was Beyonce and Jay-Z, and she had the nerve to, in front of Beyonce, sort of look Jay-Z in his eyes and like sexily flirt with him.
Really?
Watch the performance. It's Don't Rain on My Parade at the Tony Awards, Lea Michele. She said, I've got to have my bite. And she did it to Jay-Z, and Beyonce's face is like, what is this bitch thinking right now?
She was like, no, TERFs.
She was like,
I wanted to say TERF.
Beyonce, in that moment, she said, get this TERF away. We should say that Lea Michele has not shown us that she's a TERF.
Give it time. Give it 2 days. It's gonna be like famed turf, Leah Michelle.
Famed turf.
Oh god. Famed turf.
That's an alternate title of app.
I think we have to talk about Lady G now. I think we need to talk about Lady G.
Well, okay, so what have you guys read about Lady G?
I've read the Ladybug thing, which I think but here's the thing.
It was fiction.
It was okay, allegedly it's fiction. Allegedly, it's not true, or it's its own allegation, let's say. For people who haven't.
We can't be doing that.
No. But the author said that it was fanfic that I didn't read the article.
Oh, really?
The author said this was fanfic. I didn't expect it to go viral. This is not true.
Oh, come on. See, that's my thing. It's like if we have actual people who are willing to come forward about Ms. Lady G, aka Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, then what we need to do is we need to let those people come forward. We don't need fanfic right now. We don't need anyone to dismiss what these people might be saying. Because if Lindsey Graham is in any way lying about his sexuality and passing anti-LGBTQ legislation, we need to deal with that. And if you are going to be lying and writing fanfic and like making this any more confusing than it need be, truly shut up, because these people should speak out.
Yes. And even, but to me though, and this is my honest sort of opinion on this, is that even if he did have ladybugs and like moles around his anus that looked like fecal matter,
ladybugs,
like all of that is cool, like all of that is cool and queer and like good for him for like if he had ladybugs around his asshole, then like that is almost like, if it weren't for the fact that he was this horrendous legislator, like I'd be like, oh cool, that's cool, like I that endears
well,
me to
Lindsey
Graham.
Well, we had a Lady Bird Johnson, now we have a ladybug hole.
But I'm just like,
it's my first lady name. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I mean, ladybug hole. I mean,
Lady Ladybug Hole shows us around her pantry.
Wow. I just think that all of this is like, this would be endearing in any other world where Lindsey Graham was not this, did not like actually push homophobic policy and didn't, you know, like defend Brett Kavanaugh with all of his being.
I should have known when I was reading that that couldn't be real. Someone on all fours on the bed saying, oh, those are my little ladybug. There was a horrible, honestly, now looking back, it was a horrible piece of writing.
Oh, and we hate the writing.
Now I hate the writing. No, I do hate the writing though, because it's a lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you contributing that right now? Those are my little ladybugs. We don't need that. It was gross to read. And now that I know it's not true, it's even grosser to think existed.
Sure.
His face alone is enough to make me puke forever. Like, he's so gross. Nauseating looking. He's like I'm not a good artist, and if I tried to draw a beautiful pig, it would, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would be, I'd be like, fuck it, Lindsey Graham. Like, yeah, as a bad artist, like as a terrible art drawer, if someone gave me a pencil and said, draw a beautiful pig, I'd end up doing a point, angle by angle portrait of him. He's just a real piece of shit. And I'll be honest with you, I don't necessarily believe that his gayness alone is what they have over him.
Oh, yeah.
You think it's more?
Not.
I think it's much more than that. Because that, to me, if he's out, like, sleeping with sex workers, you know, he would have to know that there's a threat that someone would come forward. So I don't, and he's been doing it for decades. So I don't think that is why. I can't explain unless they have a tape of him doing something horrible. I don't know what is up, but Bowen, what do you think?
There has to be something actually illicit. There has to be like he must. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't want to conjecture too much, but it's like, yeah, I agree with you. It's got to be something darker.
Well, all these people that have still like rid behind Trump on this lane to hell. Like, what exactly is it that keeps you doing that? And then you think, well, because we've passed the point where reason would intervene, it must be something that they're
something
all
dark. Like, what does he have on Marco Rubio? You know what I mean? Marco, who I cannot stomach. Who, like, what dirt?
He's really the worst.
He's awful. What do they have? But how can they possibly have, like, let's say they have like a sex tape of someone, right? They can't have one for every single senator. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, something is up. I don't know what it is, but I want to know.
Also, Ted Cruz the other day, like, something's up with him, too, because...
With the toilet paper?
The toilet paper.
The toilet paper post. I was like, what are you talking about?
By the way, Costco literally has so much toilet paper. What?
They're back. But why...
He's trying to get people to believe he ordered toilet paper in March and it only just arrived and it looked like that.
From China? Seriously? Is that what it was?
He said, I ordered this toilet paper back in March.
But didn't he like throw China in there?
He said it's made in China and it looks like shit. I mean, he took a picture of it. It was like bent all out of shape and like.
That is not what Chinese toilet paper looks like, for the record. Chinese toilet paper does not have, it's just the rolled up paper and there's no cardboard roll.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Like in a public bathroom.
Exactly.
I know what you're saying.
Yes.
Wow.
I love that. I want to start doing that.
Exactly. I'm glad I introduced
this. Would you say this is like one of your greatest episodes? Or I'm just curious. Where does this fall?
Top 1%.
I want to address my many cuts and bruises from falling on my bike. So Jared and I sort of took to bikes the other day to sort of, you know, escape what was going on in our day-to-day life just to get away for about 25 minutes on a short bike ride. And I actually was putting the directions in on my mobile phone and in with one hand and starting to drive the bike with the other and broke too hard. And I'm telling you, it was... Jared says he thought I died before I hit the ground.
Oh my God.
It was the kind of thing where it was like I literally flipped over the handlebars on my bike.
How fast were you going?
Not that fast, but I just broke so hard that I just went and flew like literally over my bike.
Did you have a helmet on?
You have to wear a helmet.
You got
you
it.
You had one?
No.
Don't do it. I never wear one.
And it was the kind of thing where it was like, I never really ride bikes. So I was just like, well, how fast am I possibly going to go? Well, how could I really get into an accident? Mm-mm. Guys, wear a helmet when you ride bikes because
you know, you're really scaring me. I'm serious. No, I'm not.
Look, I'm happy that you're afraid because I hope that you're the voice of the audience here. And I hope that everyone is afraid. You need to be wearing helmets when you ride bikes. You don't have to be going fast. You don't have to be experience. An accident can happen to you at any time. I'm telling you, I fell on my bike and luckily I landed on my wrist and my elbow here. But like Bowen and Michelle can see, it's kind of gnarly.
That's bad.
And I could have landed on my head and really hurt myself. So please be... You know, I know that we're all anxious to get out there. Like, I think that was part of it. I just wanted to get out and exercise and get on a bike. I was excited, and I haven't been out much in the past few months. But,
I got a bike. Those of you who are familiar with me know that I'm not, like, fit. I actually, can I be honest with you? I'm not making a judgment call on this because a lot of people would be like, you're fat phobic. I'm like, no, I'm speaking fact. I'm fact. Anti-fact phobic. What am I trying to say?
Yeah. You're honest.
I'm pro-fact, not fat phobic.
Pro-facts, not fat phobic.
You're fat philic. You're fact file.
Yes. And but I do see like over what has it been 3 months? Like when I first started doing these Zooms, I was like, I look stunning. You don't have to say anything. Say nothing.
I'm just saying,
I see it, but I love you. But I see a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see it, and it's fine. It's who I am. But I got a bike to try to maybe, like, burn a calorie or two. And I've been riding it, and I got a helmet, too. But you know that my head, I'm like Ichabod Crane. Like,
Ichabod.
I'm Ichabod Crane. I, like,
this Ichabod has a gorgeous head. I love it.
When I was in Europe, this is relatable, I went to a hat store. I was like, I'm buying a hat. And I went in, and he had to literally take me, like, every lady's hat was, like, Elmer Fudd, and then he took me to the men's hats, and I had to go to the last thing in the men's hats to like full blown like Indiana Jones, like don't even ask. Okay, anyways, I didn't buy one, but helmets, I just look horrible in them. I don't like wearing them, but I've been riding my
bike.
No
one likes wearing them.
They're so dorky and they're so fucking ugly, and especially when you're already like a big person. Well, I already have. I always joke that they're gonna hang my skeleton at the Natural History Museum, but like after I go, they're gonna like wash off the flesh and just hang me, suspend me next to the
wash it off.
But anyway, the point is that I
wash off the flesh. Everyone
next to the whale from the ceiling.
No, when I
she always jokes that. She always jokes that. I always joke.
Oh my God. I always joke that.
I always joke. They're going to wash off my flesh and hang my skull.
Hang it next to the whale.
I always joke that.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, so, Michelle Collins.
No, but anyways, but then today I took my bike out because it was a beautiful day today. Obviously, there's a lot of horrible shit going on. Horrible and good. It's confusing, but there's like good stuff today happening.
There's progress being made.
Today was a good day.
Today was a good day. So I was like, I'm going to take my bike out because I need to like let some steam out. And I did not wear my helmet. And it's so bumpy by Riverside Park that at one point I slammed the brakes. And it was, and I get it because if you go over, if you slam too quick, your body's still moving.
Yeah, it's the really inertia, scary. Baby.
The centrifugal force or whatever it is.
Like inertia.
The inertia.
I said centrifugal force. Like I knew what the fuck I was talking about. Anyway, like there were some forces going on that I flew over my bike, landed on my elbow and my wrist, and you know, Jared was great and helped me out, but it was tough, and I want everyone to be wearing helmets. And what I also want to do right now is take a short break before we get to I Don't Think So, Honey, because I'll just be real and human. I have to urinate.
Okay.
So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with I Don't Think So, Honey.
Perfect.
Bye.
Hey, it's Bowen, and I want to introduce you to the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell. Yes, it's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients, great as a lunchtime option. Taste for yourself the slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. With new menu options like Cantina Chicken Tacos, Burritos, and Quesadillas, there's something for everyone. And Taco Bell isn't just for a late night. With this new Cantina Chicken menu, the possibilities are, well, endless. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell now. Now, I said.
Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs Classic Clogs and Sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs Classic Clogs and Sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went four more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
So we're back, and we were off mic. We were talking about what things will be like when we all kind of come back, because I have made my first trip to a restaurant. I have been to a restaurant. I'm willing to say on mic that it was a jarring experience to go into a restaurant again. In the California area, things are starting to open up a little bit more like normal. And I was saying to Michelle and Bowen that there was that moment where a waiter kind of came over one too many times. And I was like, we're good, thanks. And in the back of my head, I was like, he's been over a few too many times. But I was like, wow. But I would never actively be annoyed about that anymore, because this is, I feel like when we come back, we're all going to be, or I really genuinely hope that when everything does, quote unquote, get back to normal, that people will be more appreciative of restaurant staff and bar staff. And you guys were saying you don't know about that.
Well, Michelle kind of had like a fun underlining point, but my thing is, I think people now just like the idea of going out and like being out in public is this like, I hate terming it this way, but it's this political thing now where it's like people are so on such different thresholds of right. like agitation and just like not like just everyone's just like basically an agoraphobe at this stage. And I feel like I don't know if that's gonna extrapolate well once things start to resemble normalcy again. I think people are gonna be very are gonna have very short fuses around how people behave in society.
I just think, like, I am dying to go to a restaurant. I'm dying to, like, go on a date, have a drink, yes. like, be cute. I honestly am dying to be looked at without my mask, because truly...
yeah.
Yes.
It's like, just from... I mean, listen, from here down, sort of a blessing to me, right? Cover the jaw, make it a life. But I've always said that I'd be a beautiful third wife. That's always my long-time joke. But,
oh, my God.
No, but I feel like when... the vaccine comes and when we're able to be normal, yes, people at the beginning are going to be like, ah, thank you so much. But also, I've been nice to people, but I don't think everyone's going to be nice. I think people are getting very bitchy. They might be nice the first week, but like people are going to snap right back into who they are as people
sure.
within 2 weeks. They'll be great or a month, whatever it is. It's going to settle. The dust will settle and people are going to be who they are, you know?
And they're little... I don't know, neuroses, we'll call them, will have like baked over the course of like 14 months or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's like everyone's just gonna like calcify into some bad version of themselves is what I think.
Yeah, I guess I just want to believe, like, because I like I said, like I went to a restaurant, and again, I just want to say masks were worn, like there was social distancing, it was everything, protocol was followed by everyone the way it needed to be. But I just can speak to how I felt, which is I was so happy to be out there, and I was sort of remarking on how nice it was to be in that setting again. And I just thought to myself, maybe one, whatever you want to call it, like I know silver lining is not like a tasteful thing to say about this whole thing because there's no silver lining to coronavirus. But what I hope is that people will just sort of step back and say, these are not givens anymore. It's not a given that you can just go out to a restaurant and do whatever you want. Like, it's not a given that you can go to a bar and meet people. It's not a given that you can be around more than 5, 6, 7, you know, whatever the maximum is, 10 friends. So I would hope that people will be more grateful for those spaces. But then again, I do think, like, you know, whatever, quote unquote, negative or realistic way you can look at society is, no, they'll just kind of kick back into the way that they are because people are the way they are. However, I do like to think of myself as a little bit of an optimist, and I would hope that we could at least take something positive out of all the shit that we've gone through.
Oh, I'm gonna be like, I want to kiss dogs on the lips.
Yeah.
I want to like every dog I see. Oh my gosh. Do you know what the worst thing I said in quarantine was? That I was with my mask on, and you know, they said earlier on that you couldn't like pet dogs, strange dogs,
right, because
you
they
might
get
have it in your hands and then they could carry it. So this guy was walking with his dog. I was sitting by the pier in, by like Lincoln Center, and the cutest dog walked right by me and like hopped up to my chair and was like, you know, like dying to be pet. And I went, oh my God, you're so cute. And I looked at the owner and I went, oh, can I pet him? I shouldn't, right? And he shook his head no. And I went, Daddy won't let me pet you.
Was he cute? Was the guy cute?
No. It was like Lady G's brother, basically. But I was like, Daddy won't let me pet you.
It was Lady G's brother.
It was Lady
G's brother. That's title of that. Lady G's
Lady
brother.
G. It was Lady G's brother. Oh my God, he really is horrible. And you know, the thing about Lady G is like, I was like, if you went into an audition and acted like Lady G, they'd be like, too broad.
Yes. Yeah. No, he's so gay. Nathan Lane in The Birdcage.
Right. Oh, Nathan Lane would be perfect.
Well, I think this is unacceptable.
That's good.
He's Nathan and he's Gene Hackman rolled into one person.
Wow. That's who he is. I love
that's
that.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah.
That's perfect.
And honestly, you know, Meghan McCain was her father was good friends with Lindsay. And I bet they're probably blonde. Oh, yeah. Like John McCain and Lindsey Graham were like best friends. And so the dye job, probably maybe they go to the same hairstylist.
Oh,
we don't know.
I like this theory.
Where the hell is Miss McCain these days? Because she's allegedly
also
not
pregnant, and she got in trouble because she said it's a war zone outside my
but
apartment.
She's not even in town.
And then Kristen Bartlett tweeted, "I live in your apartment and it's fine." And then we found out she wasn't even there.
She wasn't even there. Yeah. Truly
wild.
I don't speak ill of anyone on The View again until my book comes out. So this is all.
Ooh.
We can't wait for this tone.
Yeah.
So Bowen, I have to sort of cough a little bit. So you want to introduce our segment?
Yes. Okay. So while Matt coughs and expels his droplets, we're gonna move on to our segment. I don't think so, honey. I don't think so, honey. Is where we take 1 minute each to rail on something that's happening in culture. We delayed the recording a few minutes because, and this is actually good because Michelle wanted to prepare hers, which then motivated Matt and I to prepare ours because we normally never do. So I think this is holding us accountable, Michelle.
I didn't prepare anything. Your producer, who I love, I'm not throwing her under the bus here because I adore her. Anna, hi, we love Anna. The name of the show, like literally, of course I've done this show before. And she was like, don't forget you have to prepare that thing. And I was like, I didn't do that. So
you've been a judge on I Don't Think So Many Live. You are a judge at Culture. You are so esteemed to us.
She is very esteemed.
I had the best time judging that show. Remember that was got mean to me? And then like when he talked to me after?
It was a joke. Annie Donnelly.
Great joke. Well, funny girl. Funny girl.
My favorite feud in comedy.
It really is my hair.
I don't even know her name. I'm not trying to be a bitch, but Anna, I don't know.
No. It's great.
Okay.
It's so,
anyway,
so funny.
So yes, I didn't prepare one either, but I picked one.
Yes, so. Same. I picked one. I did not write my beats out.
All right, Bowen Yang, this is your I Don't Think So, Honey. His time is going to start now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, bunkers. Bunkers are, if you think about it, white, because it's a real estate. it's an extra piece of real estate you have, right? And with every housing inequity that our country has been plagued with, that has been targeted at black people, I mean, the diametric opposite of the housing of like the housing crisis among our black people is white people having bunkers. Anyone who has a bunker is white or is
30
pushing white supremacist thought into the world, into our spaces, and they are creating spaces for their own protection. And if we're going to be talking about property, ooh baby, bunkers.
15 seconds.
Bunkers are the worst thing. And what do you have in bunkers? Rifles and canned food. That's trashy. And that is, I think, a Caucasian cultural thing. Canned food and shotguns are Caucasian.
That's 1 minute.
It's all white culture.
I can't fathom someone having a bunker.
I am so excited that you chose bunkers because on my show this week on Sirius, I did a whole segment about the word bunker because it made me laugh so much. I said the only two muckers I know are Edith Bunker and Trump's bunker. Like, I don't know any other bunker. And also the word is like LOL. The word bunker, pause for laughs. Like, it's funny. It's a
bunker.
Funny word.
It's funny.
I'm going down into my bunker.
Guess where the word comes from.
What does it come from?
So it comes from the word Old Swedish bunkie, which means boards used to protect the cargo of a ship. And then they ended up calling bunkers benches. And actually the word only became an English used word after World War II because the Germans had below grounds. They called it, guess what they called it? The fucking Führer bunker.
Of course
Trump has a fucking Führer bunker. So there is so much white supremacy built in. It's funny that you brought this word up. I was really excited to educate people and learn myself.
I love this, Michelle.
What is the deal with Caitlin whatever who speaks for him now?
Oh, please. Who the fuck even knows? He goes to, like, University of Arizona graduations and plucks the first girl that walks yeah. to her, it walks to her like Camry that. And hires them. Do me a favor.
It really yeah. feels like that. That girl
isn't that
is
funny with that bunker shit?
That is hilarious. Shit. And so you heard the word bunker popularized over the past week and a half, and you thought, let me deep dive into the word bunker?
The etymology.
No, you know, on my show, I don't plan anything, and it's 2 hours a day. And so I just, when something like makes my, you know, I have a brain spark, I thought, what the fuck is the word bunker? It just sounded funny. Mm. And it sounds a little bit like higgy, which is another Swedish word. It just, I knew there was going to be something oh, with yes. that word, and it delivered. I don't do etymology often on my show. I'll be very upfront. But this one really delivered for me.
I love that. Wait,
maybe
what are
you
origins?
Should make etymology more part of your thing, because this is really educational stuff.
I would do it.
What are the origins of higgy, of hygge, or however you pronounce it?
Oh, higgy? Let's look it up.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's definitely, I don't know. Well, it's Swedish,
I think it's hygge. I've been told by so many different people.
Hygge?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With an umlaut over the Y? I don't even, someone's going to come for me.
Oh, here it is. No, it's Danish, Norwegian. It's actually not Swedish. Oh, brother, I've been canceled. Here we go. I've been canceled. I don't, leave it. Etymology is the Danish word, oh, this is so cute. Picture me as like a little cartoon character reading this. Meaning to give courage, comfort, and joy. Hygge stands from hygia, which means it's to think in Old Norse. And so uh-huh. the word comes from Old Norse. This is now getting bored. Which comes from the word hug, which means soul, mind, and consciousness. It is interesting. I take it back.
Okay.
That's it's the word hug. It's related to hygge. Yeah. That's
ultimately interesting.
Because it's a feeling. It's a sensation.
Yeah.
Well, we love that. Okay, and I think it's time for Michelle's. Michelle,
mine's gonna be bad.
I just did a real stinker. Okay, Michelle's holding her mic. Oh. So it's actually gonna be good because she's changing her posture. So this is Michelle Collins. I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Las Vegas. Now listen, Las Vegas, I know you're the whore of cities. We all know. I've been to Vegas many, many times. When you're sitting and you can feel the breath of disease on you there pre-coronavirus. Yes. I mean, this is a brag story. I'll tell it in 10 seconds. One time, my friend lost me, was like, Where's Michelle? Turned around. I was making out with a man. I did not know his name. He walked up to me and started making out. It's disease-ridden city. And your mayor, Carolyn Goodman, who's a fucking asshole, is an embarrassment. And now you've opened up. Opened up when the only reason you should be opening up is to fucking protest for Black Lives Matter. It's the only excuse I will have for wave two. Mm. I'll take a second wave if it's around the protest, but if it's around some fucking 15. Asshole putting his wife's money down without her knowing to lose their home, I don't even know where to begin. As Celine Dion, you should be ashamed. No, I'm kidding. I love her. I love her.
Five
I love
seconds.
Her. I'm just saying Vegas needs to sit down. It's going to kill this country. And that's the end of my thing. It wasn't great.
No, it was great. I'm also, like, honestly, I'm upset with Vegas because they promised so many good shows coming up and now they're all canceled.
What was coming up?
Kelly Clarkson Live.
Oh, KCL.
Oh, that's right.
KCL, I forgot. Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson KCL. Was having a damn Vegas show experience in the same theater that Christina Aguilera had her show, The Experience, which I went to go see.
Which hotel is that in?
It was Planet Hollywood, I believe. No, wait.
Woof.
I'm forgetting. Why? Have you been to many Vegas shows?
I've been to all of them, sweetheart, and that's why I don't think so. Honey, seen Britney.
You've seen Britney?
I've seen Celine twice in Vegas. Cirque du Soleil's O. Anyone? Twice?
Oh, the Zappos Theater. That's where Christina and Kelly were.
That's really funny. The Zappos Theater. You can catch me at the Gushers Amphitheater really coming. I'm going to be doing some stand up there. Once this thing is over, we're doing live tapings of somebody spilled sauce.
The Gushers.
Theater. Somebody spilled sauce. Did you guys see Gushers? I mean, all the brands have
Gushers
been
Gushers made a statement.
Gushers made a statement, but then my favorite part of the statement was, we will be working with Fruit by the Foot to like try to dismantle racism and all that stuff.
I have so many things to be upset about right now, but I did zero in on one thing. And even though it is sort of a broad topic, I would like to speak about it.
And this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Home Depot, as a gay child being brought into you, you were terror. It was a zoo filled with beasts, where the beasts were the wood and the saws and the
And that stinks.
Hammers! And I hate you, because whenever I was a gay child being brought into you, all I saw around was my fear. Meanwhile, in my own shed in my backyard, my father would say, go there and get me a hammer. I would go there. I would go into the shed. I would look at all these different tools. I didn't know what a hammer was.
30
That's
seconds.
How gay I am. You, Home Depot, a shop full of hammers and the ilk. You terrorize me. And now in my early 30s, yes, you tell me that you're making a donation to Trump. Politically, you terrorize me. Physically, you terrorize me. Emotionally, you terrorize me. And I tell my father, you shop at Lowe's from now on. And you know what he says to me? Yes. He agrees with me.
$5.
So you have lost even the masculine, even the men. You have lost. I don't think so, honey. Home Depot.
And that's 1 minute. Even the masculine, even the men, and hammers and the ilk. A beautiful,
you have lost
poetic
even
language.
The masculine is like why I diet. That's right there. That's like why I'm hiring a trainer, so that you can be like, you've lost even the masculine. I'll be like, thank you. Ooh, oh my
honestly,
god, that's hilarious.
You and sad. Home Depot, like I can't imagine a store that has caused me more pain throughout my life than going there with my father and having to be like, oh, it's time to go buy wood. Imagine. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
There are like gayer parts of Home Depot. Like,
yeah,
if
like
you go
paint.
To the one on 50. Paint. No. Like, they have like a Swiffer aisle, and they have,
yeah.
They sell the, like containers the, and rugs.
Yeah. And the soil and, like, aisles are fun.
Yeah.
It's like they said
there are moments.
On the commercial.
They have moments there.
Gotta go to Lowe's. Or is
gotta
it gotta
go to
Lowe's.
I you know what? I'm very upset to hear that they donated to Trump, because I'll be real with you. I don't love a Lowe's, but I will learn to love Lowe's.
Home Depot donated to Trump. Burger King donated to Trump. Pizza Hut donated to Trump. Like, I could go on.
It's like the franchise owners, because I heard Taco Bell did. And I had to regurgitate the Crunchwrap I had for breakfast. I was like, what?
The Crunchwrap I had for breakfast.
There's
podcast,
a title of
live
contender.
Taping. Lose the masculine.
Wow. So much culture ruined here on the I don't think so, honey, portion of the episode.
I can I just say something? You boys, after a very harrowing few months, have just totally pulled my soul out from the dirt.
Okay.
And I love you both so much.
We hope that everyone listening has been taking care of themselves, and we're happy to hear that. And we were so happy to have you, Michelle. We laughed throughout this episode. We do just want to remind everyone, you know, to really be thinking about where you're putting your money. Like, we make a joke, but especially now when there's so much going on, we listed a bunch of resources and organizations that you could donate to in the last episode, and maybe revisit that and like just think about where you could be putting your money that's a useful place. And you don't necessarily have to be ordering Taco Bell anymore, or Taco Hut, or Kentucky Hut, or whatever it is that you go out and get. Just be smart about where you're putting your dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sort of thing matters.
That's power, honey. That's power. Well, Michelle, we're so happy you came on. We've had you in the books for ages, because we were just making sure that you were going to come at the exact right time. You came right on time.
Well, we needed to laugh.
That's really perfect, honestly. And thank you. And anytime, I mean, once we're back, please come back. Come on my podcast, will you?
We would love.
A midnight snack.
We love a midnight snack. And also, to just revisit whether that's a good title or not, yes.
Do you like it, honestly?
We
it's
really
very
do.
Good. Excellent, excellent title.
Okay, I hope it's okay that I said the title on your show. We'll
I
see.
I think it's fine. who are you going to get? Who are you going
to
get in trouble
with?
Well,
like, to make sure everything's been, like, booked already. You know what I mean? By the way, when you see the podcast in 3 weeks and it's called Somebody Spilled Sauce, you'll know that I was being... I love... Spilling the sauce sounds funny. I don't
spilling
know. The
sauce
more I'm saying
is good.
It,
I mean, sipping the tea, spilling the tea, that might have to
spilling
go.
Spilling the sauce. All right.
Spilling
boys,
the sauce.
I love you. I have to go fix my eye makeup before my Instagram live television show, which I get paid so much money for. Wow. I just make money, money, money.
And that's why we're going to wrap up right now with a song, the way we always do. Bowen, take it away.
Don't tell me not to tell us down the cutter. Life's a and the sun's
a ball of butter.
Don't tell us for a
roll of rain on my parade. That actually wasn't us singing it. That was Leah Michelle singing it. She's a bad singer,
she's
too.
She's bad.
She had a meltdown.
Canceled. Okay, bye.
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 You know.
know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.